are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Tuesday, December the 3rd, and the first meeting with John Beilein and the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening as we trudge along through December in these great times for Michigan sports fans. What a great place to live these days, and a great place to be a sports fan. We'll get through this together. I promise it to you. Today we're going to look ahead to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to run the numbers and talk about how things are going for rookie coach John Beilein in Cleveland with the Central Division rival Cleveland Cavaliers. We're also going to hit up the Google voicemail line a little bit later, but give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons back in action tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Detroit coming in at 7-13, virtually in a ninth place tie in the Eastern Conference with Charlotte. That's right, the Charlotte Hornets, 1.5 games behind the Orlando Magic for the eighth and final spot in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons only a game and a half ahead of tonight's opponent, the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers, which come in with a 5-14 record. Detroit actually a 2.5-point favorite on the road. But I'm going to tell you what you really should do tonight. And I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, but if you're a basketball fan and you're a Pistons fan, there's probably a good chance you're either from Michigan or have a tie to the state of Michigan. And let me tell you what. Go ahead and skip the Pistons game tonight. It's a big college basketball night. So I'm going to excuse you completely and encourage you from watching college basketball instead of pro basketball tonight. That's right. The number 4 Michigan Wolverines are in Louisville at the KFC Yum Center, which is an amazing name for a college basketball arena. That's at 7:30, followed by the regional final rematch from last year, Michigan State against Duke. Two awesome programs in the state of Michigan that we can be very proud of. Obviously, Juwan Howard's just getting his off the ground, but the early returns are more than excellent for the boys in blue. And we all know about Tom Izzo and what the Green Gang does. Sparty has it rolling, has had it rolling for decades, and should be a very good team this year, despite some early season stumbles so far. For the Spartans, we should reward our successes in this dreary state, so you should watch those college programs. Take the day off of the Detroit Pistons. I'll watch the Pistons. I promise you, I'll have a recap for you tomorrow, everything you need to know here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Do we have a deal there? That's the deal. So go ahead and do that, and we're going to excuse you. We're going to excuse you from tonight's game. And speaking of excusing you from tonight's game, I was at the Red Wings game tonight as a fan, taking my boy Leo to his first game. My friend's son is 5 years old. We took him to his first Red Wings game tonight, and, man, it was a Monday night crowd, not a really good crowd. We know how bad the Red Wings are. They lose 4-1 to the New York Islanders, and just not a great performance from the Red Wings, and the fans didn't show up. I mean, we've seen Pistons games like this. I'm not trying to rag on the Red Wings and their fans or anything like that, because, like I said, we know the Pistons are like this as well, and we know that the Red Wings on a Monday night in December, in the middle of a pathetic stretch of hockey right now, are a team that doesn't deserve the fan base and doesn't have the fan base right now. The place was pretty much cleared out at the end of the second period, when it was all pretty much said and lost. My point for this rambling is that I don't have a problem with this. I've never had a problem with this. People are always talking about, you know, where are the fans? Who's going to jump back on the bandwagon when these teams are doing good? I've never understood the concept of denigrating bandwagon fans. I don't think that if teams are playing poorly, they shouldn't really be supported with cold, hard-earned cash. I mean, yeah, you certainly will. If you're a big sports fan like me, or your career is somehow involved in it, you're going to follow the local sports teams. You're probably going to make it to a game once every season for each of the teams or something like that. But I don't think that fans should be forced or encouraged or anything like that to support bad products. And that's what we have here in the state of Michigan. And on the other hand, when we have good products like Tom Izzo and Juwan Howard and the University of Michigan and the Michigan State University are putting out over these past several years, and of course John Beilein is a huge part of that tradition in Ann Arbor, we should be supporting those programs, patronizing those games, spending money, buying the gear, representing those teams, going to make it a trip out to see those teams on the road, and certainly getting to Chrysler Arena and the Breslin Center as well throughout these seasons. So a little bit of a rant there, a little bit of a soapbox that I wanted to get on. But the Pistons are 2-7 against poopy teams this year, including a loss to the Atlanta Hawks and a win against the Atlanta Hawks, 3 goddamn losses to the Charlotte Hornets, 2 losses to the Chicago Bulls, 1 loss to the Washington Wizards, and 1 win against the New York Knicks at home. This is a chance to move to 3-7 against the crap teams of the Eastern Conference. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I believe that this will be the top line of the obituary about this Pistons season. They need to right that wrong, and it's too late. I mean, 7 losses against those teams combined is probably about the maximum that you want to have in an entire season of good basketball. So they're past that point already, and it's just not pretty. So need to right that wrong as much as possible, and that starts tonight on the road against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The injury report, by the way, includes Svi Mykhailiuk for the first time in a while. He's probable with a bone bruise in one of his knees. It also includes Dylan Windler, the Belmont rookie, who is appearing to be close to having his first action for the Cleveland Cavaliers, the 26th pick in the draft, big-time shooter, pretty much made to play basketball for John Beilein as a white dude who's pretty big and can shoot it. He has not made his NBA debut as of yet. Jetty Osman and John Henson are both listed as questionable tonight for John Beilein and the Cavaliers, and, of course, Khyree Thomas and Reggie Jackson on that list as well. Sekou Doumbouya was not on that list, so he's a guy who I expect to be active and in Cleveland with the Pistons tonight, and we'll see if he's able to get back into this game. Always a chance that the Pistons can blow out the Cavs or vice versa, of course, 2 bad teams. You never know who's really going to show up, but we'll go deeper into this matchup, see how things are going for the Cleveland Cavaliers and John Beilein this season. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line, commiserate a little bit with some sad fans out there. But speaking of sad fans, the Cleveland Cavaliers, it is not pretty, no doubt about that. This team has lost 3 straight and 9 out of 10, 5-14 on the season. The only win coming in that 10-game stretch against the Portland Trail Blazers. What the hell is going on in Portland? From what I've heard anecdotally around the league, from following the media members that I follow and talking to folks that I follow, it sounds like the Cavs are playing hard this season so far. There is no doubt that this is a very bad team, especially on the defensive end, as evidenced by last year. But there's just no defensive talent here on this team right now. So there's a definite ceiling for John Beilein's team on that end. 24th in the offensive rating, 104.8 for John Beilein's team per 100 possessions. And then 24th in defensive rating. So the exact same number at that, 112.4 on the defensive end. Could be a lot worse, man. This is a team that was 30th in defensive rating by a lot last season. So bottom third in the league, but I do believe that John Beilein should be commended for these guys not being 29th, 28th, or 30th in the NBA. So who do they got? We know about Colin Sexton, the rookie from last year out of Alabama, who scored about 16 points a game last year, leading the team in scoring right now with 17-plus for John Beilein and the Cavaliers. And, of course, Kevin Love, the best players on this team. Just please trade Kevin Love. What a poor guy, man. I mean, he's been fighting the good fight, even the LeBron years, the salad days of Kevin Love's career in terms of the winning and the team success. That wasn't easy on him. We know that. We know about the personal depression issues that we talked about. It seems like we're talking a lot about these guys and their depression and mental health, but a serious topic that the NBA seems like they're doing a little bit better a job of tackling these days. But it's just sad to think about Kevin Love in Cleveland, then sadder to think about the fact that when we're sad about Kevin Love still being in Cleveland, that's how people sometimes think of Blake Griffin. So a little sad thoughts there. I digress. But Jordan Clarkson is actually showing a pulse this year. He's one of my 5 least favorite players in the league to watch. I can't imagine that John Beilein is enjoying the Jordan Clarkson experience. And then Kevin Porter Jr., a man that a lot of Pistons fans have circled for the next player that they're going to hate to have a good career come out of, a player the Pistons could have drafted at the 30th pick in the NBA draft, instead pawning that off for some second-round picks in the future. A move that saved some money for sure, but it kind of makes sense when you look at the way the Pistons roster is constructed. They don't have enough playing time for the small or the young wings that they do have right now. Might be tough to fold him into the crew, but 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists so far for Kevin Porter Jr. The three-point shooting is awful at 21% as advertised. A McDonald's High School All-American who went in and had one very, very, very disappointing season at USC before leaving for the NBA draft. Old friend alert with Brandon Knight. He's on this team. Not my former high school teammate Brandon Knight, but the former Pistons' 8th pick of the draft. Gasp. That's gasp-worthy. 8th pick of the draft, Brandon Knight for the Pistons. 1 pick ahead of who? Kemba Walker. 3 picks ahead of who? Klay Thompson. 7 picks ahead of who? Kawhi Leonard. You may have heard of those guys. Kemba Walker, Klay Thompson, and Kawhi Leonard, Brandon Knight. Make good picks, right? I mean, we wouldn't have to have these philosophical debates about tanking or how to rebuild this team if you would just make the correct draft picks. There's scouts that you have out there. I know it's an imperfect situation. You're never going to be perfect on it. But, man, get to know these guys. Get to know some of these players before you take them. For all I hear from fans, rightfully so, about the Devin Bookers of the world, the Donovan Mitchells of the world, players that should be on the Pistons if all things kind of went the right way in the draft room during the Stan Van Gundy era, the Joe Dumars era, even the Ed Stefanski era. We should probably talk about the Brandon Knight pick a little bit more than we do. And so we'll enjoy watching him play tonight for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Speaking of drafts and misfires, in my opinion, although it's way too early to give up on rookies, as we know, Darius Garland, the mystery prospect in the draft coming in this year, the guy that I threw up my hands on before the draft and said, hey, if he's that good, I just have to take your word for it, because there's like 3 games of tape of him from Vanderbilt, his one season there. He left after his freshman year, hurt his knee, didn't participate at the combine. And hey, if you can make projections based on some high school film and the fact that he signed with Clutch and you know that this guy's going to be very good, then you're better at this than I am. So turns out, so far, he's not very good in the NBA. I think that they should have not taken him. I mean, it sounds like he can't lose defenders right now, having a hard time getting going offensively. And for a rookie, I mean, there's certain things, obviously, for a guy who's going to control the ball in his hands quite a bit, there's a lot of things you can excuse out of a rookie point guard, almost anything. But if the athleticism isn't there for a guy who's kind of relying on that quickness and is that type of player, that might be a problem. I know he's coming off of the major injury, and we'll see if that gets better in time. But nobody should have taken him that high. And you know who really shouldn't have taken him that high? The Cleveland Cavaliers, because really, the only decent young piece that they have on this team was Colin Sexton, kind of a shoot-first, gunning, small guard, which is what Darius Garland is. So why would you take another one? Because those guys obviously need the ball in their hands to develop as players. I wonder if I'll be proven wrong about this someday. I tend to think not. I don't think this is a great organization. I admire Dan Gilbert going outside the box and plucking John Beilein. I'll never forget. I was actually in Las Vegas when that news broke. I think I was flying back to Detroit that day, and it was for some reason that news broke. Well, I guess I was in Vegas, so what I thought was really early in the morning probably wasn't really that early in the morning for you guys back here in the Eastern time zone. But I can remember for some reason one of those late nights of Vegas. I'm sure you've been there. And for some reason, sometimes when I imbibe a little bit, I wake up early for some reason. It's like super early, can't go back to sleep. And it was like, you know, 6 in the morning or something stupid. And I might have actually been working on the podcast, now that I think about it. Working hard for you guys in Las Vegas, despite being on vacation. But spread the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's how you owe me back for all that stuff. But John Beilein, out of nowhere, plucked from the University of Michigan and heads to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dan Gilbert and Kobe Altman picked him off and took him out of Ann Arbor. And now he's, you know, and I respect it. I totally respect the move for John Beilein. We've all been in jobs that we like, hopefully, but we also kind of have our eyes on, and I know that the NBA and major college basketball is not a great comparison to maybe some of the things that we kind of all deal with in our everyday lives, but, you know, in my industry where it's a cool job and you like it pretty much all the time you have it,
but there's competition out there. There's different sports you can cover, different teams you can cover, different kinds of writing that you do, that kind of thing. You might look at another guy or another gal who has a job and say, man, that might be a kind of a cool job to try, but I'm so good at this other thing that I do that maybe it would be kind of a risk to go after that and do that. But if you got that itch in your life, and maybe we'll turn this into a life advice segment from your boy Matt, but if you've got that itch in your life, we've only got YOLO, as the kids say, right? You only got one life to live. So go ahead and take that. Scratch that itch, right? Don't be irresponsible about it. Don't be reckless about it. Make sure you are not putting yourself into financial peril or anything like that. But if you've got, if things are going relatively well and there's something you think might be interesting to try, even if it might be a failure for you in the classical sense of the term, I think you should go for it. And I applaud guys like Tom Izzo, who obviously was thinking about it for a long time, almost made the jump to the Cleveland Cavaliers before and entertained offers from several NBA franchises and ultimately decided to stay in Michigan State, which is nothing wrong with that decision, of course, as well at all. But for John Beilein to make that leap unexpectedly, to let a lot of people down, to be frank, and to do the move that he wanted to do that he thinks would kind of close the chapter of his coaching life in a satisfactory way. I don't know that even he would think that he has any chance of winning an NBA championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the next 5 years, but it's just something he wanted to try. He probably saw the pro life, saw a different brand of basketball, a different brand of challenges, and wanted to see what that was like. Maybe a little bit less stressful at times, maybe a little bit more travel around the country to cities that he wanted to see, those kind of things. Be interested to see John Beilein someday, whether it's this year or maybe somewhere down the line, if he gives a candid answer as to why he's doing this with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not picking at him, just kind of curious as to what some of those reasons are that he's doing that, if he's speaking honestly about this move to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But speaking of speaking honestly, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line. My boy Breeshin out in Philly's got one for you. He was upset if the Pistons lost on Wednesday night to the Charlotte Hornets. I was upset with him, and he's got that soundbite coming here for you next. Here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Breeshin out in Philly. Moved to Michigan 3 years ago, and I'm out. Can't support this team in public anymore. Not wearing my hats, not wearing my jerseys. I got to keep the wristwatch because it's a good watch. And it's not the watch's fault that Derrick Rose thinks he's the same one-on-one player from 2010. Oh, what does he do? This team, man. I mean, there were 6 years from 2003 to 2009 of golden basketball, top 14 in the league. I can deal with 6 to 7 years of losing, but 11 years of this shit? Come on. What are you doing? I mean, are they just getting rich off of having a basketball team? None of these moves make sense. None of the moves the players make on the court make sense. And then I don't like how the game is even being played to where any kind of brush is a foul. You like the beautiful athleticism of the game? Let them play and stop calling these ticky-tacky fouls, man. And can somebody grab a rebound that's not Dre? And he can't do it all the time because he hasn't had any kind of consistency, and he hasn't had any kind of training until maybe a year ago. I mean, I'm just tired of watching games like this, man.
My man, Breeshin, I appreciate the call, and I'm with you. I love the frustration. You could tell that Breeshin's got a past and a history in the theater, and he does the theater performances out there in Philly as well. And you can tell he's a character. We love him here on this show. We're going to get through this together somehow, some way. Breeshin, I appreciate you calling. And if you want to call and give your 2 cents, 810-666-1546. Call anytime. Leave a voicemail. Leave it under 2 minutes or 90 seconds, preferably. Leave your name, where you're living, and just spout whatever you want to say about the Pistons. And it's cool. And Breeshin, we really appreciate the call. Thanks again. And I'm with you, man. It's hard to watch this team. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, nights like Sunday night against the Spurs are few and far between. You listen to the show, you know I don't have a lot of hope that this season's going to magically turn around. And this is a team that's going to get into the playoffs or contend to get into the playoffs or anything like that. I enjoyed listening to Laz on the Detroit Bad Boys podcast on Monday. He presented a case that was kind of the opposite case of what we talked about or what we have talked about on this show. And, of course, we talked about James Edwards III's article in The Athletic on Monday talking about why this team should try something a little different, suggesting that the rebuild might be afoot. But I would encourage you to listen to Laz and get the other perspective on that. He says, put your head down and go for it. You know, trade the 2020 first round pick. He doesn't like the prospects other than the top four that he had in there. He didn't have RJ Hampton as a player included in that top group. And then of those top four guys, he didn't seem too high on them. I don't know. To me, I haven't studied this draft class, but I find that most times, even if it is the seventh pick of the draft, I know a lot of Pistons fans are tired of the seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth and 12th and 14th pick in the draft, and I understand where you're coming from there, but there's guys to be had almost all the time. I mean, even the Kawhi Leonard draft that we talked about there, Giannis Antetokounmpo was taken in a weak draft at number 15. Now, of course, you don't expect to get to MVP type of players in the middle of the first round or even around 9 or 10 or anything like that. But, man, I mean, that's quite a leap to make to say that we're not going to want a guy who's not only possibly very good. I mean, Luke Kennard, and that's a very strong draft that Luke Kennard was in, but he was a player that really wasn't even that good of a hit for the Pistons. If you look at that draft, you look at the players that was obviously picked right after him and picked around him and picked later than him, you could make an argument that if you were redrafting, not only would, of course, you would take Donovan Mitchell number one in that draft, but you might not take Luke Kennard that high that the Pistons did. And yet, here he is, still a very valuable player for this team and this franchise. I just feel like there's more guys out there that you can get with that top. And I'm the kind of guy, it's funny because I'm the kind of guy who normally advocates for trading away mid to late first round picks. Now, I think in a situation like the Pistons, where you're looking at a rebuild, you're looking at a new course correction coming up soon, I think that's the last thing you want to do is trade away those lottery tickets and those chances for getting impact players. But again, I would encourage you to listen to Laz talking about kind of just putting your head down and keeping things going. And I think as I was listening to him, and I agree with many of his points, of course, his cautionary tale of the Chicago Bulls was an interesting one and a valid one. No doubt about that, a team that's kind of looks like it's going to be maybe starting up another rebuild cycle sometime soon, because Jim Boylan and those guys have effed this one up so far in the early going, or I guess not even early anymore, stages of their rebuild. But I will say something that kind of stood out as I was listening to Laz is that the major point of difference between the two camps on rebuild or no rebuild, and I know it's kind of the unspoken or sometimes very loudly spoken point of contention about the Pistons fandom out there, is I think it has a lot to do with where you stand on Andre Drummond. If you think Andre Drummond can be a guy that the Pistons should re-sign for a lot of money and bring back and keep, you know, in terms of maybe his whole career here in Detroit, he can be the second best player on a very good team. At 26, he can keep adding parts to his game like we've seen he's been able to do. If he keeps doing that and he can play around the right players and play within the right coaching system, that he can be a guy that you can build around, and you can take the pieces that the Pistons already have in terms of young pieces, maybe even trade Blake Griffin still if that's something you want to do. Whereas if you're like me and you just don't see that future with Andre Drummond being a very, very big piece of this team, and obviously, like I said, I've always said and still contend, if he wants to take a hometown discount and stick around Detroit and accept something like $18, $20 million a year, I'm all for that. But in terms of the investment that you might have to make for Andre Drummond going forward, I think that that's kind of the underlying thing about where you stand with this team. If you believe that Andre Drummond can improve and continue to do the things that he's doing and more, which I know we'll disagree on what he's doing right now and how great it is and how valuable it is, but I think that's just kind of where we're at here in Pistons Nation. Let me know what you think. 810-666-1546. Give me your thoughts on that or anything else. What's the direction that you want to have for this franchise, and how do you get there? What's the roadmap? So, this is your host, Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take the night off of Pistons basketball. I'll tell you what happened in the Cleveland game. Enjoy the Spartans and the Wolverines. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.